Stratus.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sunday Morella.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Good God!
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior?
Surprise, surprise. He ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host, Lindsey Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our good friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And a big happy birthday to one Matt Goldberg. So, massive birthday shout-out to him. Yay. Hope it was a good merry one. I am Lindsey Ward, the host, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash handyman, Sir Rockin'.
Happy birthday, to you.
Thank you. Belted that out for Matt Goldberg.
Yes, happy birthday, Matt. Hope it was a good one.
Ooh, man, yeah, happy birthday, Matt. But, yeah, oh, man, this is a show tonight.
There was a show tonight. We have a ton of stuff to get into for you guys. We have news. We have NXT TakeOver. We're going to tell you everything that happened with that. And
why?
We also have to talk about he didn't feel the love. That's why. The love was not real for him, okay?
Adrian stole the love.
Adrian stole the love. We'll get into all of that. And of course, we've got to talk about tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs.
Oh my.
But now we're going to jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com. Go there for all your news needs. And we have to talk about one of the biggest stories of the week, because there have been a couple.
You mean we're talking about free Alex Riley?
No.
Oh, man, I had this whole 10-minute thing I wanted to...
Well, we can talk about it if you want.
No, We're good.
All right. Which, well, another wrestler who freed himself, CM Punk, he freed himself up to sign a big, fat contract with UFC. That's right, y'all. CM Punk is going legit. He is going to be a UFC fighter as of 2015. He already has his first fight scheduled. And, oh my God, he's going to die.
Well, technically, he doesn't have it scheduled yet.
But it's arranged.
Is it? No, we don't...
No, I thought he said... I think today that his fight, either today or yesterday, that he's already got his first fight scheduled.
No, it's not. That was not true. There's nothing...
Oh, that was not true?
There's
okay.
There's nothing planned. All right. The goal is 6-7 months from now is to have his first fight. There's been rumors everyone's making challenges and whatnot. That's...
I'm sure people are.
I think that's where the confusion is. Some people think, oh, hey, this dude said he's going to be an opponent, and he's not. Like, the dude who came out and said, yeah, I'm going to take him down was 15-2, and I don't think they're going to. The way Dana White said it on Saturday night on the pay-per-view, or on Fox Sports 1, whatever it was. I think it was FS1. Basically that we're going to go with a guy with the same experience as CM Punk. We're not going to throw him to the wolves because, honestly, he has no experience.
Which is good that they recognize that, and probably for the first few fights that will be the case as he works his way up in the ranks, but eventually is going to get to the point where he gets thrown to the wolves, especially if his goal is to achieve a title in UFC and be a champion in UFC. And it's just, you know, there are people that are chomping at the bit to get a hold of him. Some of them are really excited he's there. Some of them are not happy that he's there.
You mean CM Punk versus the Green Ranger?
Yes! I actually want to see that. That would be awesome. I want to see Jason David Frank take him on.
If that doesn't scream pro wrestling, I don't know what does right there.
Right? But yeah, so kind of an interesting move. Punk basically said this is something he's been thinking about doing for a while. He thought about doing it a few years ago before he re-signed with WWE, and now the opportunity has re-presented itself, and since he's free of WWE, he's going to go ahead and take Dana up on the offer. What a lot of people are finding interesting and what a lot of people are calling him out on is basically, as we talked about last week, Punk gave an interview with Colt Cabana on his podcast about his reasons for leaving WWE, and one of them included the fact that he was beat up, that he had injuries, that he didn't like the way people were working, that people had intentionally hurt him, and basically people were being rough when they shouldn't have, which is leaving a lot of people scratching their heads as to why the hell you would go to UFC if that's why you left WWE.
Right. And, yeah, it makes you question a lot of things where it's like, he has head injuries, and head injuries are no joke. And
talk to Corey Graves.
Yeah, Corey Graves, we'll talk about him later with all the concussions. It's like, and it's very fitting seeing him on Corey Graves.
Right?
Put them both in a suit, they look so much alike. That's besides the point. You're getting me distracted off course. Okay. Point being,
my work here is done.
I had a thought. Concussions. That's the thought. Yeah, dangerous head injuries. Does he have one right now as he's talking? Because he can't keep a thought in his head. It's kind of scary dealing with those injuries. And one kick right to the head, whether it's in a UFC fight, whether it's in a sparring session, could permanently damage a guy. Because your brain can only take so much. You only have so many hits you can take to your head, and he's already hit 12, 13 big-time concussions, supposedly. So, it would be very interesting to see if he can get clear. Maybe he was making up some of those concussions. You don't know. He says he feels as healthy as he's been in many, many years, because he's not being beat up every day. The one thing I just want to point out, I don't know. To me, I think he's over his head. He keeps being asked the question, and I watched an interview on Fox Sports 1 last night with him, where it's, so what weight class are you going to be? Where are you training? What is this? What is that? What style? Have you ever competed for a belt of some sort? He says he's a white belt for life, basically. He doesn't believe in the belt system, so he hasn't tested or tried for them. And he's never really done this. And I think I think he's going to get a rude awakening. That's just my thought.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. I mean, it's one thing to have an interest in it and to pursue it privately and to get trained, which he's done some things with some other UFC fighters that he's friends with, and they're helping to train him and they're helping to kind of get his feet wet. And it's one thing to want to do it as an amateur. It's something completely different to do it on the professional level. Because even on a professional level, they play for keeps. They're not gonna say, oh, well, you know, you don't really know what you're doing, so I'm not gonna completely kick your ass. No. If you don't know what you're doing and you're stepping in there with those guys, they're gonna smell blood and they're gonna take you out. Because for them, it's, you know, it's like you get paid either way, but you get paid a lot more money if you win.
Yeah, there are bonuses for if you win. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And if they see an easy pick in, they're going to take it. And it's just something of, you know, again, if you're going to do something professionally, I feel like you should do it right. And it doesn't feel like he's doing it right here. It's just like, oh, hey, he's basically putting the cart before the horse and jumping way ahead of where he should be, because if he's saying, oh, well, you know, I've never really done this and I don't know what I'm doing, but, you know, you have a UFC contract, that's kind of insulting to a lot of people in MMA in general, because there are hundreds of thousands of people that would kill to get that contract that he's got right now. Fighters from all over the world that would love to get into UFC and make the kind of money that he's going to be making. And they sign a former, you know, an ex-pro wrestler who doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
An ex-pro wrestler with no experience in the field. Let's talk about this. Kurt Angle has for years wanted to get into MMA, right?
Right.
Dana White's proposal to Kurt Angle, go through Ultimate Fighter and maybe earn a spot. This is Kurt Angle, Olympic gold medalist. And he had to go, he was being told at his age, go earn a spot. CM Punk is handed a spot. And that's what this is. CM Punk is being handed a spot. He's very well aware of this. He's made this known. He understands it. Because he's hot right now. UFC needs a star. This is a golden opportunity to, well, you want to do this? We can make some money. Let's do it. That's the deal on this. And I'm okay with him wanting to do it. I know I'll watch the fight. Will it be to see him to get his ass kicked? Maybe. It's entertainment. He's intrigued. See, for all of Punk's faults, and there are a lot of them, the one thing is, he's entertaining. And he blows away a lot of the fighters in terms of entertainment. That's first and foremost. He knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. Yeah, it's his job. It's what he's been doing for his entire life. Again, you can go back, as we mentioned with the Marvel thing. Part-timer stepping in to try to get a spot for someone who's worked their life. Part-timer in wrestling gets the main event spot that CM Punk works hard for all year. It just
makes him seem a little bit of a hypocrite. A
little bit. And I know he wants to work his way up and not. That's fine. I understand this, and you just see one perspective. And I feel like he's making a mistake. I feel like he's, because he's never done. There's one thing about rolling around with your friends, but once you go in the ring with someone looking for blood, it's going to be a big rude awakening. And I think that first time he gets in a full camp, if he might not be able to handle it. He may get physically beat up to the point where, maybe I'm done. Maybe he won't ever get to that fight. He signed a deal for a multi-fight deal, whether that's 2, 3, who knows. I heard the rumor that the goal behind this is maybe not a championship in UFC, but to get some credibility in UFC. So eventually he can become a commentator.
You know, and honestly, if you want to bring him in as a commentator, I don't think anybody would really question it.
Well, they do, because a lot of the commentators, sans Joe Rogan, have a fight background. So I think in his mind, he wants to build the fight background so that he can, because he even said it on there, look at this white belt breaking down a main event fight. He wants, I think the end result is he wants to be a commentator for Fox Sports or UFC or whatever. But he needs to have that background, and I think him going through this process will get him that background he's looking for.
And that's a fair thing to do, but there are other ways to get that background. don't include potentially being publicly humiliated, which is what he's looking at. He could succeed, and he could be really great, and I'm not saying that he couldn't, but looking at Punk, it's like he's 36 years old, he's had multiple head wounds, he's been beat up in the ring, he's not a spring chicken.
No, he's not. Alright, so you won't get this reference, but I'm going to make it anyway.
Okay.
Because I know you never watched a TV show, Friends, right?
No.
Okay. There was this episode of Friends where Monica, who was Courtney Cox, was dating the dude from Swingers, not Vince Vaughn, the other guy.
Okay.
I forget his name, but you know who I'm talking about, though.
Yeah.
Okay. So his goal, he was in the show, he was a millionaire or whatever, he had all this money and yada yada yada. And his one goal, one dream, was to be a UFC fighter. And what happens when he became a UFC fighter? He got his ass kicked. Repeatedly. And that's what it seems like.
Well, I mean, it's, like I said, Pump could succeed. But in terms of him succeeding, I'm genuinely concerned that he won't. And it's more than just a health concern. The health concern is the main one, where something seriously bad could happen to him, mm-hmm. and somebody could mess him up on purpose. That's the thing, is like, it's not like wrestling where it's everybody protects everybody. No. Somebody wants to mess you up and end your career, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And there's not going to be a damn thing anybody can do to stop it. Is they're just going to go after you, and they're going to keep going after you until you either are too beaten up to continue, or until you tap out or something else happens. They're not going to stop the fight because you're getting your ass handed to you. That's the thing. They don't stop the fights in UFC.
Right.
And
Well, they do.
Yeah, but it's rare that they do.
Well, if you can't defend yourself, they will stop the fight.
Yeah, that's about the only time, but until there's a long way to go to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you pretty much have to be dead on the ground before they'll stop it.
Well, yeah. And usually you are.
But I mean, it's a general concern for his health, given the amount of injuries that he has, given his age. It's that concern, but it's also the concern of public humiliation, because, like I said, this could go really well. He could, you know, be hugely successful like Brock Lesnar, or he could be completely publicly humiliated. And it's just something of, if you want to break in and you want to get the fight background, you could go to Bellator. You could do it on the lower level UFC circuit. You don't necessarily have to do it in UFC legit to get a fight background. You know, you can get the belt, even though you don't believe in the system, which is basically he's too lazy to be fucked to do it.
Yep.
You know, if you actually went through the belt system and got tested and went up to a level of black belt, or I don't know what the next step down is, but went up fairly high in the system, that would give you credibility as well, because at least you understand how to fight.
Right.
Like, you know, I get he's trying to get the fight background, I understand it, but I don't know if that's going to do him nearly as well if he's still a white belt. If he refuses to show really the sport the respect that it deserves and go through that system properly. Like, that's the thing. He's still trying to do it his way, and it feels like he's kind of trying to half-ass it a little.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, that's a dangerous thing to be, and to be doing in this kind of sport.
Right.
But I could be completely wrong, and I want him to succeed. Please don't think that I'm poo-pooing him just and bashing him to, you know, say, oh, well, he's going to fall flat on his face. No, I'd really like to see Punk succeed. I think it would be really cool, because he would be able to achieve a dream that he wants to achieve, which is what you want for anybody. But I have a lot of concerns, especially about his health and well-being, that I feel aren't being addressed. And, you know, I kind of feel like a little bit, and this isn't all on Punk, it feels like Dana's sort of taking a little advantage of him.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, Dana White's a businessman. first and foremost, and he knows he can make money off of Punk, so he's going to sign Punk. But he's also not, you know, he's also going to kind of lead Punk down the primrose path a little bit. And it's like, yeah, you know, your first fight or two, yeah, we'll give you somebody on your level. Yeah, yeah, and then once you start to move up, then, well, we'll start putting you in there with the bigger names. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So, we'll see what happens. I'm with you. I feel like he's going to get thrown to the wolves after the first couple fights, and then, you know, some people already talk about, oh my god, the first fight's going to even be rigged. He's, you know, so.
Well, the other side of that is, you know, Punk left for a variety of reasons in WWE. He walked out before his contract had expired. There's got to be a concern in the back of Dana White's mind that, you know, Punk's not going to do the same thing in UFC if things don't go his way.
Right.
And that's what you have to wonder is, what will Punk do if, well, things don't go his way, he demands that they go his way, they don't give it to him, and then he, you know, what's he going to do? Because we all know it's like he's going to want that main event spot, he's going to want, you know, the money that goes along with it. He's just going to want all the fame and all the fortune and all the attention, and when they don't give it to him, well, what is Punk going to do? Is he going to walk out again?
It's always a concern, and so far he was trying to compare, he was asked to compare Vince McMahon and Dana White last night, and his point was, you know, Dana treats me well so far. They're both similar in some ways, but they come and they flew to me. They were with me, and you know, they've had my back. But you know, discounting Vince McMahon having his back for years and stuff like that, just gonna completely ignore that.
Of course,
because that doesn't help his agenda right now, which is, you know, basically trash his former employer. Because that's what he's done, and no matter what, whatever way he tries to spin it and says, I'm not being a negative WWE guy, you've become a negative WWE guy. I'm just throwing that out there. But
yeah.
So we'll see what happens with Mr. Punk, and we'll continue to update you on his situation.
His travels through UFC.
The journey of Punk continues, and we'll cover it here on the rack.
Boom. But, well, speaking of journeys, speaking of rumors, speaking of travels, we have to talk about the other big story, and we're going to transition out of WWE for a second, because, well, we have to talk about Impact Wrestling.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do. We kind of do, which includes, well, they're moving to their brand new network, their brand new time, their brand new time slot, and, well, their brand new day.
Yeah. Alright. So, I was quickly updating something. Alright, here we go. Brace yourself for Impact Destination America is kicking off Destination America is kicking off the new year as the new destination for professional wrestling following an announcement of Discovery Communications TNA Entertainment. This is all going to go with Impact Wrestling debuts on Destination America with a special live broadcast on Wednesday, January 7th from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, televised from New York City's legendary Manhattan Center. Impact Wrestling will then move to its permanent time slot on Fridays, 9 to 11, beginning January 16th. Before on the specials, we will have Rude vs. Lashley 3 for the World Heavyweight Championship. Other guys, including Kurt Angle, Jeff Hardy, Gil Kim, and EC3, and the other stars in pack, add to the explosive debut. An encore will follow from 11 to 1 a.m. Destination America welcomes Impact Wrestling with a marathon on Wednesday, January 7th, from 9 to 9, looking back at the biggest moments and most heated rivalries leading into the special live broadcast from 9 to 11. Impact Wrestling on Destination America premieres in its permanent time slot Friday nights from 9 to 11, starting January 16th, immediately followed by an encore from 11 to 1. Missing matchup or just can't get enough? Check out Impact Wrestling Unlocked on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., beginning January 17th for a reloaded edition of the previous week's Impact Wrestling. There will be a whole new viewing experience featuring extra content and never-before-seen footage. Courtesy of ImpactWrestling.com. Okay. Go.
What an awful time slot.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, SmackDown didn't have the best of time slot. This one? Yeah, no, this is awful. It's really, really awful. And it's to the point where it's like they're supposed to be a featured program on the network, and again, they'll have many chances to replay the show and yada, yada, yada. But Friday nights is awful. Like, we thought originally they moved to Wednesday, and Wednesday was a move for good, but apparently they could not fit it into the schedule on Wednesdays, and they decided, hey, 9 to 11 on Fridays, that sounds like a good slot. We'll go up against Bellator or something or whatever. Other mixed martial arts contests and stuff like that. It's like, oh, okay, that's good. And Destination America does not have a West Coast feed, so that's why there's a replay on there. So if you watch live on the West Coast, it'll be from 7 to... Or no, 6 to 8 on the West Coast. So it doesn't have that staggered feed, so you have to actually watch it live to watch it. Yeah, I don't like the time slot. It's an awful time slot.
It really kind of is sad, just because it's like, is that the best they could do?
It appears, like, we've looked at Destination America's programming, and there's not a lot of programming on there, so it's like, you figure they would have... You're bringing over a supposed highly rated show that brings in a million people, and your network's only drawn 400,000 for a high mark at one point. You would think that other valuable programming could be moved to new time slots to give Impact Wrestling a decent time slot. I guess the time slot could be worse, but I don't know how much.
Not by a lot. I mean, that's just a bad day, and that's a hard time. That's primarily why SmackDown is moving, is because it's just into an awkward time for Fridays. Everybody's going out, everybody's having a good time, nobody's really watching the show. And so it's something of, you move it to Thursdays and more people are going to be home to watch it. And yeah, it's like, I get they don't want to compete against SmackDown, but yeah, I agree. If this is supposed to be your flagship program of your network, you can move other shows around to fit that show in.
It just doesn't seem like it's going to be the flagship. It's in a dead spot, but we'll see what happens. But with a new time slot came, well, brand new logo, as you can see on the technology screen right now, and you know, on the graphic we have up on the screen, WWE and the new Impact Wrestling graphic. You can, I'm going to let the artiste of the bunch break it down.
Okay, whoever picked the font for Impact, we need to have a discussion. Okay, it's an awful font. Please change it. Bring the M center line all the way down to the ugly blue line. Fix the spacing. No, put it back on the black. I can see it better. There we go.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was thinking if it would show up on the black, it didn't.
And fix the face spacing on the P, fix the spacing on the A, fix the spacing on the letters, change the blue, because it doesn't pop. For the love of God, use a better gradient. Like, looking at it connects to WWE's.
Which is a logo she's had a lot of complaints about.
Which is a logo I've had a lot of complaints about, too. It looks like somebody, and this is not a shot, but it looks like somebody threw it together in 5 minutes in Photoshop. The Impact Wrestling one, it's like, it's just very cheap looking, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it does. It literally looks like somebody's like, oh, well, we need a new logo, does it in 5 minutes in Photoshop. And it looks like it was somebody who doesn't necessarily play with Photoshop a lot. Not trying to take again a shot, but it's just like, they did a nice job with the Impact Wrestling logo that they had before. And then they go to this one. And it's like, what? Like, I like the octagon. I like the way it's laid out. I just don't like the color choice. I don't like the font choice. And I don't like the gradient on the font. It just looks cheap to me.
I'm agreeing with her. Just yeah.
And it doesn't. And the thing, the worst thing is like it doesn't really pop that well.
No.
You just kind of look at it and you're like, oh, okay.
I guess it fits. It fits Destination America, I guess.
I don't know. I'm not going there, but yeah, I saw the logo and I'm like, ew.
Yeah. So there is that.
There is that, but speaking of new things that are hopefully good.
There's a new announcer, though.
We do need to talk about that real quick.
Yeah, former WWE announcer Josh Matthews will be the lead broadcaster alongside Taz for Impact Wrestling when it debuts on Destination America. And Mike Denae is out of a job as far as the lead announcer. Apparently, he signed a one-year deal with TNA, but will do interviews or something like that. But he will not be the play-by-play guy no longer. It's Taz and Josh Matthews.
Oh, God.
That's a big change.
That is a big change.
So, we'll see what happens. I like Josh Matthews. I think he's a good announcer. So, and they seem to have some good chemistry, so I just go back to the... If you think about it, you know, Big is the... John Gaborik is the guy who is the producer or creative guy or head of talent or whatever for TNA right now. He was the guy behind Tough Enough. And what was the first pairing on Tough Enough? Josh Matthews and Taz.
Oh, I know. It should be good, but it's like, oh, it's the end of an era. Mike Tenay's gone. Like, Don West left, and now Mike Tenay's gone, and, like, it's not... They're slowly but surely, everybody's leaving.
Yeah, but he's sticking around. He was originally... Here's the story. Jim Ross and Global Force Wrestling sort of tried to contact TNA. Just going... I think Jim Ross was the one reaching out to help have Mike Tenay be the broadcaster alongside Jim Ross for the New Japan show coming up in the beginning of the year, but, you know, they turned him down because, well, he had signed a new contract because his contract had expired, but he signed another one-year deal with the company. So he's sticking around, but won't be the guy anymore. I think that has to do with Josh being closer to who moved to Nashville, and that's why he was signed. And Tanae's all the way out in Vegas, so I think that has something to do with it now. Cutting back on expenses.
Yeah, cutting back on cost of flying him in to do voice work. That makes sense.
Right, and since they're taping in New York, Taz is right there, so it's easier.
Yeah, and it's easier to get Matthews up to from Nashville.
With the rest of the crew, yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Makes sense.
Absolutely makes sense, yeah. So, well, best of luck to Josh Matthews as he moves forward in his career.
Yes.
And Mike Tenay, as he winds down, maybe.
Probably. He's been doing it forever. So he's been a broadcaster for 20-something years at this point. So, yeah, his time has come, it seems.
Yep. It's time. Everybody moves on, eventually.
Yes.
Including the Ascension.
Yeah, apparently the Ascension is rising on at least SmackDown coming up tomorrow. They're supposedly a vignette is going to be airing and about their debut coming up on the main roster and after tonight's performance. I don't know if it's a good idea or not. So, we'll see. But yeah, the Ascension is finally coming to the main roster.
I want to give them a chance. But I just, having seen them against the tag teams on the main roster, I don't know. You know, the Ascension look impressive in NXT, but when you see them on the big stage, it's really not as impressive. So it's, I don't know, I guess we're going to have to see how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is Connor had a confused tonight. It was awesome.
Yeah, he did. we have one other big story to get to, but first, wanted to mention really, really quickly. If you're a fan of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Alberto El Patron is headed to Ring of Honor in 2015.
Yay.
So, he's taking those bookings, so if you've been clamoring for that Alberto Del Rio AJ Styles matchup, you may get it in 2015.
Hey.
So there you go.
There you go. Congratulations to him. Best of luck as you move forward.
Yeah, follow ROH Wrestling on Twitter, and they'll give you more details for when you can see Alberto El Patron and probably Ricardo here soon.
Yay, Ricardo. And last, but certainly not least, the other kind of big story slash rumor slash whatever you want to term it of the week, which of course features The Undertaker, who, yep, folks, it's that time of year the Taker rumors are starting, where, well, it's rumored Taker is going to be doing one more match, even though he has not agreed to do it yet, and, well, if this were to happen, I would fall over dead, because the supposed matchup is Taker versus Bray at 31 in San Francisco.
It's a dream match.
It's a dream match, and I'm sure Bray would take it in a heartbeat.
In every interview possible, Bray Wyatt does say one of his future opponents he would like to face is The Undertaker. So, there's that.
It's something of if you're going to have Taker come back and you're going to have Taker do one more match where the streak doesn't matter, I'd rather see him against a young guy than honestly someone like Sting, just because there is that chance that you could do a career match where Taker puts his career on the line because that's really all he has left, and he gets retired at WrestleMania.
Right.
And you have someone like a Bray Wyatt or a Seth Rollins or a Roman Reigns, someone young and up and coming and hungry, retire The Undertaker. Because it's really a career-defining moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I still maintain that it should have been a younger guy that broke the streak, if it was ever supposed to really be broken.
Right.
I don't think it ever should have, but if you're going to break it, give it to somebody that can use it to elevate themselves as a star. Brock didn't need it, but in terms of retiring The Undertaker, because I'm not going to go off on that rant.
If you missed that rant, tune in to Rock from last week.
Yeah. In terms of another career-defining moment, it's Taker being retired and somebody finally sending Taker off into the sunset, and you could do, if you want to use Bray Wyatt, you could tell a really cool story, and you almost kind of rerun what Bray did last year, but he goes after The Undertaker's legacy, and you could have him expose The Undertaker for who he really is, because I was talking to Rock about this last night, where time seems to be favorable to The Undertaker in the sense that a lot of people have forgotten that he's not a nice man.
He's a bad, bad man. He's killed people. He's set places on fire with his brother inside, and yeah.
Yeah. And this is the guy that, killed his parents in a fire that resulted in his brother being becoming a psychopath and coming down on the WWE. He's kidnapped people. He's sacrificed people to the higher power, which turned out to be Vince McMahon. He's done numerous awful, horrible, bad things. And yet people revere him as a hero. They revere him as kind of this false idol and look up to him. And I can see Bray attacking that and going after him. Now, granted, Taker's never really made it a secret that he's a bad man.
No, but it sort of gets glossed over now.
Yeah, it gets glossed over in terms of he is the legendary Undertaker, so what happens if Bray Wyatt exposes him is just Mark. What happens if he exposes his weaknesses as the fact that he's getting older, he can't move better, he's paying alimony, he's been through several divorces. You bring some of the personal stuff where Bray kind of exposes Taker to the world, that could be an interesting story.
Hi, I'm Mark Holloway. No, but I'm hi. I'm Bray Motherfucking Wyatt. Yeah, it could be really good.
And the mind games these two could play with each other, because you don't need Taker there every week, and you certainly don't need Taker and Bray getting in a promo battle, because Bray could probably talk circles around Taker. I'm sorry, but it's true. Taker's never been a strong promo guy, ever. That's why he generally doesn't talk.
The Undertaker was a strong promo guy when he wasn't The Undertaker. When he was the Biker Taker, big evil Taker, he was able to be more of his natural self.
Yeah.
And that's when he shined as a promo guy. But when he's trying to do these, The Undertaker, they're short, to the point promos. And that's the way it should be. That's the way the character should be. And that's why they don't let Bray do 10-minute long monologues either, because if he does 10-minute long monologues, you could sort of lose people.
Not me. They could send him out here with a goddamn phone book and I'd listen to him.
I'm not saying you or I. I'm saying the general...
Yes, I know
people.
What you're saying.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I can see it where Taker gets exposed for who he really is, and you have Bray playing mind games with Taker, and you have Taker reciprocate. And the nice thing about that is he doesn't need to be there every week to do that.
No, you just hit buttons. Push, push, push.
And the Taker magic happens. But yeah, so, and nobody's saying it's true. Taker's given no indication that he wants to work Mania 31. I'm sure the heart is willing, but again, as we said last week, the body's probably not. This is usually about the time of year Taker is beginning to train for Mania, so he'll know for sure if he wants to go ahead and do it. And we don't even know if it's going to be Bray Wyatt. It could be somebody different, but I think Bray Wyatt would be a good choice for The Undertaker. I think it would be a good fit.
I agree with you, and the reason behind the whole talk of The Undertaker, one, is that he's on a bus now. And number two, he has a downside 7-figure guarantee based around WrestleMania. So they want to justify it. So
if you're going to pay him, you might as well pay him to be there.
And right, the other part of the report that's sort of not out there, they're only hitting the one point, he may just do something to get their money's worth out of The Undertaker. And that's fine. I want to see... I've been very upfront about this. I want to see The Undertaker because the last impression we had was not a good one. So I want to see The Undertaker do something that makes him still... so that he goes out like The Undertaker should. If that makes sense.
It makes sense. I'm just not sure I want to see him come back.
Not have him mad. Like, have him beat up somebody and let the last moment be him in the ring doing the pose after a tombstone, and that's about it.
But I don't even know if I want to see that. It's like, it's kind of interesting what the death of the streak had on me, or the effect that it had on me, because it kind of really shattered that illusion.
It did.
Of The Undertaker. And I love him, and I will always love him, but it's just something of... I don't know, it's just, it left a really bad taste in my mouth, and it's just one I can't get rid of, and it's like, he lost the streak, he looked really, really, really bad doing it, he looked really actually very old and feeble.
Yeah, he did not look really good at all.
And it's something of...
And that also had to do with the concussion, you know, hey punk, concussion...
But no, it's he looked old and feeble, and that's a hard image to shake, and it's like, you know what, just stop. It seems like he deteriorates a little bit more every year, which is probably true. He's probably deteriorating at a pretty fast rate just because of how many surgeries and what he puts his body through every year to train, and he never comes back fully. But over the time, he's obviously deteriorated to where he is now, and it's just like, you know, you don't want to see him get any worse. You really don't.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You don't want to see that legacy tarnished any more than it was with the Brock match.
Yeah, so that's just my somewhat humble opinion on it, but I guess we'll have to wait and see if we get Taker versus Bray, because I would, if Taker's going to come back, he's going to do one more match, let it be against somebody like Bray Wyatt, who can do the mind games, who can carry the talking, and who can bump like hell for him.
And it was a very subtle tease where, you know, Brock was, Heyman was talking about Brock and The Undertaker, and then apparently, like, I originally thought Heyman got cut off by Bray Wyatt. No, Heyman was just done, apparently. But it made it feel like, it was like, oh, he cut him off, but it was just very well timed. I guess that was the best way to put it. But it was sort of like, hey, they're talking about the streak ending, and then Bray Wyatt has his darkness and magics and
lights. Yeah.
it was just a very fitting way to have things go out. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it goes and stuff like that. Quickly, congratulations to Devin Taylor, the NXT announcer. She's going to be on The Bachelor coming up in January.
Good for her.
That's why she sort of disappeared from NXT for a while. She's tried out for The Bachelor and made it, so maybe she'll get picked, maybe she won't, who knows. And congratulations to Batista. He has a role in a new movie. I believe it's a James Bond movie, I believe.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, so congratulations to him. He's going to be a villain, so...
Color me surprised.
Right? Because, you know, Batista babyface really doesn't work. as we're all kind of aware. So congratulations to him. Congratulations to her. But that's all really the news tidbits I have. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's good. So we're going to take our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about tonight's exciting NXT Live special, NXT TakeOver. You don't want to miss it, because we're going to give you all the dirt, including what happened at the very, very, very end of the show, in case you missed it. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangoing, yes, Let's Go Cena, Cena Sucks, and What's Up? Sub, what'd you pick?
I think I picked Cena Sucks.
No, you didn't.
A little bit. Great.
I love these picks.
Sub, you picked Yes, Yes, Yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan, of course.
Yeah!
why didn't I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Of course. Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to change King the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he picked the snake charmer. No. No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, that was way off there.
Insult of the year, Sub.
I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations. You picked the winning one. Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get a roll of them? Do I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
All right. So you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my
Dude.
God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Down.
I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
thinking something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls. I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slumber knocker.
WildTalkRadio.com. Woo! Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your wrestling action figure needs. And it's still Matt Goldberg's birthday for another hour, so go wish him a happy birthday, too. I'm sure he'd appreciate it. Because now we're going to jump right into tonight's exciting NXT TakeOver. Because holy crap.
NXT TakeOver R Evolution.
And that's what it was. Because, wow. Just, wow. Where do you... I mean, we obviously have to start at the beginning, but... Before we start, what were your thoughts?
As it's replaying on the WWE Network right now, they made some stars tonight. You had a very strong open. You had the final two matches were really, really good. Everything else was pretty good. And, you know, we got what we expected. And, yeah, this was talent evolving. And they certainly, certainly did. I think we need to start, though, with the pre-show announcement, though.
We do. We really do.
And it was announced on the WWE pre-show on the network. Corey Graves battled a lot of concussions, and WWE doctors recommended that he retire from the sport. And that's what he has done. But WWE is giving him the opportunity to continue in the business that he has loved since, you know, being very young. And he'll be joining the NXT broadcast team starting tonight.
So, unfortunate to see Corey retired, but very cool that he's staying around as a broadcaster.
Yeah, it's very cool. It'll be interesting to see how he evolves. Keyword, evolves as a broadcaster, and he had a pretty good first night, I would say. I'm still trying to figure out who he sounds like.
Aside from, you know, Corey Graves?
Yeah.
He's sitting here, he's like, he sounds like somebody. Yeah, he sounds like Corey Graves. No, he sounds like somebody. Yeah, Corey Graves.
It's not what I meant, and she knew it, but she still rubbed it in my face. Repeatedly.
Let's have some fun.
Yeah, I know. I'll let you handle the first match, then.
Well, they didn't waste any time in terms of Kevin Owens, because he was the first match of the night. He made his debut to a thunderous ovation from the crowd. He teared up a little bit. He's very excited because, you know, it took him 14 years to get here. He took the ring and, well, his opponent came out, and who was it? Mr. Man Panties. That's right. First match of the evening is Kevin Owens versus CJ Parker in a fantastic opening contest.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. It was a fantastic opener.
And it was fantastic from the standpoint of Steen walked out there. I'm going to call him Steen. I should call him Owens.
Kevin.
Owens walked out there.
Kevin.
Kevin walked out there and basically took the brass ring and ran with it, because he was doing flips, he was jumping over the top rope, he was throwing CJ around like a rag doll, he split his nose open. I mean, just, yeah.
He ripped poor CJ's sign in the ring. He did a cannonball over the top rope. I really liked this theme. Even though it was a generic theme, it didn't sound generic.
No, it was a good theme.
It's a good theme. It's very catchy, and it's a main event level theme. It's better than some of the guys on the main roster have right now. Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose. But yeah, we had an Owens gonna kill you chant.
Yes!
Though he did, I will say this, he does have a Samoa, he does look like a white Samoa Joe right now.
But it looks like he's lost a little bit of weight.
He's trimmed up. He's lost some weight. He slimmed down a little bit, which was the big thing for him coming to NXT, was that they wanted him to trim down a little bit, and he seems to have done that. He's going to be a straight-up fighter, which is what you like, and he did a nice finish with the powerbomb. He picked up the win. There was a scary spot where he did look like he got busted open, and, you know, I think it came off a kick from CJ Parker, Mr. Man Panties, and yeah, it's a good opener. It was a nice back and forth too. But Owens had, you didn't feel like Owens was in trouble, but they made it feel like it at times though. But Owens did come back, and yeah.
Yeah, it was a very competitive contest. I mean, obviously CJ was out there to do the job, but they put in a really nice effort and put out a nice little match, and he made he made Kevin look really good, and that's what you want.
And I would say this is the best performance I've seen from Mr. Manpanties in a while.
It's the first performance we've seen in Mr. Manpanties in quite a while.
Beyond him getting squashed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's been on TV, and he fought Tyson Kidd a few weeks ago, but that was an awful match. This was... Parker actually... Owens allowed Parker to be somebody, and it was pretty good. But the finish was really good. So, yeah, Kevin Owens connected with the crowd, and he was way over, and he had a nice cradle knee buster as well, which looked mm-hmm. like it hurt. So, yeah, Kevin Owens with the victory as he connected with the crowd. Something you can't say a lot about a lot of the talent, but he connects with the crowd, and we'll get to why he connects later.
We will.
Next, NXT Championship, Tag Team Championships, Lucha Dragons versus the Vaudevillians. We had new gear for both teams.
Did you say billions?
The Vaudevillians, yeah.
I thought you said billions.
No, Vaudevillians. Because I hear it both ways. I've heard it Vaudevillians and Vaudevillians. I've heard it both ways.
It's Vaudevillians.
I know, but I've heard it and just stuck.
Well, don't do it the Todd Phillips way.
Tom Phillips way.
Whatever the hell his name is.
Anyway, it's now the Rich Brennan way because he's now the voice of NXT.
Yeah, that dude.
Rich
the
Brennan.
One.
Yeah, who on the pre-show said he's now the voice of NXT. Anyway, sidetrack. New gear for both teams. Thank God I'm not blinded by the Lucha Dragons anymore. They've toned down the yellow because that was blinding. Really, really blinding.
You gotta be colorful.
Yeah, we had a Let's Go Gotch chant in the match. Good match. We had a nice double dive by the Lucha Dragons onto English on the outside, but Selena Del Sol for the win. Lucha Dragons retain. So, there you go. Good match. Not a great match, but a good match. Good showing by both teams.
Solid match when Aiden pushed Gotch out of the way and took the double dive from the Lucha Dragons. Gotch's face was really kind of priceless because he's like, he squashed my Aiden.
yeah.
That's what the look on his face was. So it was kind of cute and priceless. I was sad to see that they lost because I was rooting for the Vaudevillians. I wanted them to win.
Yeah, you wanted to annoy them, but they came up short tonight.
Boo.
We had Baron Corbin take on Ty Dillinger in an unannounced match. Breaking news, Baron Corbin knows more than one move. He did three moves in this one, and the fans were disappointed because they started counting. The announcers were building up, how this is going to be a short match. And the crowd was like, 1, 2, 3, about 20. Oh, he's just standing there. Oh, he did a move. He did another move. Oh. Hey, he got the finish. Yay! They're sort of disappointed. We had Bill Dempsey in the crowd watching on, and they had a stare down after the match. But yeah, the fans, they build this up. Yay, Baron Corbin just squashes people in the first 15, 20 seconds. Ty Dillinger's just standing there. Waiting for Baron Corbin to do something.
Run, dude, run.
But the crowd was like, 1, 2, and oh. It was less than a minute, but the crowd was 1 at 15, 10 seconds. Since that's what they've been building. But again, not all matches can be 15 seconds long. So Baron Corbin wins. So.
Yay.
Building up to a feud with Bill Dempsey, so that's continuing.
I like that we got to see him do a little bit more.
Well, additional two moves, yeah. But yeah, it was good. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see what Baron Corbin needs to evolve, and again, that's a theme. People need to evolve. But speaking of evolving, our next match, the Ascension took on Hideo Itami and Finn Balor. Alright, the Ascension come out, they're the Ascension. Hideo comes out, bright new yellow tights.
He looks so cute.
And then I'm just going to let Lindsay explain it, Finn Balor.
Holy crap, they let him do the face paint. Holy crap. The entrance. OMG. where the hell was this when he debuted? I demand to know where this was, what, a month ago? When yeah. Finn Balor showed up? Because, oh my god. So, if you're not very familiar with Prince Devitt, who is Finn Balor, kind of what got him there was the fact that he used to do body paint. Mm-hmm. And he would paint himself up as the Joker and Venom and various other characters. When he came to everybody was speculating when he came to WWE whether he was going to continue that gimmick or if they were not going to let him do it. And when he debuted, a lot of people were disappointed because he did not do the face paint in WWE. Well, tonight, they tweaked the entrance. They did the face paint. He had fog out the wazoo.
Like he had heartbeats to start the, like it was bump, 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 bump. It felt like Taz's early entrance with the heartbeats at the very beginning. And it just build up. You're building up to him arriving. And it's like, I mentioned when he first debuted, I was unimpressed because his entrance made him look small. He just didn't have that. It just, he was doing an entrance without all the effects to it. And he sort of did the same entrance, but body paint and lighting does wonders because he seemed like a whole different person. And there's this look, like, you have Connor and Victor on the outside as, you know, he's in the ring, and they have this what the hell look on their face. It's like, what?
Connor was so confused. He had no idea what the hell was going on.
Yeah, so I liked the entrance. It was really cool.
I like the entrance. I like that they let him do it because a lot of the mannerisms and things that he does in the ring now make more sense in the face paint gimmick.
Yes.
Whereas before, they didn't make so much sense.
He was wrestling as he wrestles without the look. And now he's wrestling with the look. And it's night and day. He went from average guy to star potential in one change of a look. And that's what you need.
Yeah, that's exactly what you need. And as for the match was all right. Hideo and Finn looked very strong.
Right, and they attacked right away too. They came out. They beat on the Ascension before the match even started. We had a marking out chant. That was different. But the match was the Ascension controlled Itami for a while. And the one spot that I took note of was Itami was trying to make the tag, but he took out both members of Ascension. He was going to take the tag, but they took out Balor before he could make the tag. There's a nice reverse suplex spot by Balor, and what I really loved was Itami got him up. The fans knew it was coming for the GTS, but they teased it. He couldn't do it though. It was a nice little spot. The crowd popped for it. I popped for it. They went for the Fall of Man, but Itami pulled out one of the Ascension members, and then Balor hit the Pele, and then they both hit the double foot stomp from the top rope. Pick up the victory. Your winners today are Tommy and Finn Balor. Really good match. I'm not sold on the Ascension because when they're on the offense, sometimes it can get a little stale. So we'll see what they do on the main roster, but I think this was their final showing, unless they do one more match on NXT with these guys. But I think this may be the end for the Ascension.
I want to see more about the Ascension. I want to know more about Connor and Victor. I think what's really hard to connect with them is that they're very one-dimensional. Like, they're just these big, scary, heavy metal dudes who beat people up. And that's essentially who they are. But it's like, and I know we all kind of came in late because we all started, you and I started watching NXT when it started airing on the network, and we didn't necessarily get to see it or keep track of it before that, so we missed
a whole lot from them. Yeah, their evolution.
Yeah.
They're basically their evolution.
Yeah, so we're kind of seeing the end game of the Ascension, but it's like, I'd like to see just something from Connor and Victor, some kind of character development, something to indicate that they're more three-dimensional than what they are. And I'm just not seeing that. And so it's something of, I'm curious to see what they can do on the main roster, but I'm also concerned.
Right. Yeah. Well, so we'll see what happens with them. So, yeah, there's that. So Tommy and Baylor win. Then we had our NXT Women's Championship match. Charlotte versus Sasha Banks. These girls. I was worried about this match. I wasn't sure about Sasha Banks. I was impressed by Sasha Banks tonight.
Sasha did a really nice job. So did Charlotte. Again, more brass rings. Missing. They went out there, they worked their butts off, they put on a great performance, a great match. And I was really happy with this.
I was really happy with this. I was really impressed. They had Charlotte playing the baby face and having to play the comeback role. There was in one spot, Sasha mocked the Nature Boy strut right in Charlotte's face, which is amazing to watch. But yeah, Charlotte played the comeback role. She was able to make some comebacks, but got cut off a bunch of times. And a thing in these matches all night long is they build to a dive to the outside, and they had a nice dive that almost ended badly, as Sasha almost came up a little short, but she turned her body into a crossbody at the very end, and it helped the fall through the ropes. But yeah, every match sort of builds to a dive through the ropes. Sasha went for the bank statement at one point, but it got countered into a figure four attempt, taking the spot from Raw. They took what happened on Raw and put it into this match, into a small package, but this time Charlotte kicked out of it. We had a This Is Wrestling chant, and then what was really the spot of the match, which was really nice, Charlotte went for a moonsault. She landed, Sasha rolled out of the way, so she landed on her feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did a running senton onto Sasha, which was really, really nice. It was nice thinking on the feet type of situation there. And then, a couple minutes later, natural selection from the top rope. Your winner and still NXT Women's Champion, Charlotte. These girls were really good.
Yeah, this was a really, really nice match. Very happy with it. They got a lot of time. This was a much better showing for Charlotte than what she got on Raw.
1,000 times better.
So, and she went over. So,
The champ went over? What?
But yeah, this was a great, great, great match from Charlotte and Sasha Banks. So well done to both of them.
But they were not to be outdone, because we had our main event.
Oh my god, the main event.
Adrian Neville, Sami Zayn for the NXT Championship, and the fans were behind Sami Zayn. We had a Let's Go Zayn Neville Sucks chant. Zayn seemed very unimpressed with Neville. Story of the match, Neville kept going to the outside to sort of slow down Zayn, basically get away from Zayn, and, you know, he has to win in the ring, so he kept getting away from him. We had the Red Arrow. We finally hit a dive. They went for it a couple times, but they both came in, came out, that sort of thing, until Sami finally hit his big dive. We had a Red Arrow attempt, but it got countered into a Dakota clutch, which Lindsay thought was a really good spot. Oh, and then had a rough bump after a roll up and a kick out. We had a super kick to the whatchamajigger, because we didn't know what the hell the move was, and we called it the whatchamajigger for a very long two count. We had a slug out, we had German suplexes, a dragon suplex, we went for a kick, rolled down the ring, Zayn then dove through the ropes into a tornado DDT, which was a hell of a nice spot. We hit the Huluva kick, a ref bump, Neville rolls to the outside, brought the belt into the ring, and this is where things got interesting, because the belt was in the ring, and Zayn's looking at it. It's the belt, and
should I use it?
No, don't use it, Sammy. But he was so torn, and I'm gonna pose this question the opposite way: What's with girls and gold shiny things?
What's with boys and gold shiny things?
It's a question we posed back and forth to each other as we watched this match. But Sami was, like, the face and the facial reaction. He was so torn. Do I use it? And we're like, no, Sami, no. And he never ended up using the belt. He got rolled up for a two count, but then hit the exploder suplex and the Huluva kick. You're a winner. And brand new NXT champion, the one and only, Sami Zayn.
So Sammy doesn't have to leave. Yay!
And then, oh man. Okay, so as things go, Kevin Owens shows up and comes out with the rest of the roster, and he comes in, he's the first guy to hug Sami Zayn after the match. And there's this big old big celebration with the babyface roster and Tyler Breeze. Pat Patterson came out, they paraded him around the ring, Zayn was biting and eating the belt. And this was going on for about 5, 6, 7 minutes at this point. Neville is curled up in the corner, he eventually gets up, and they finally hug. That moment between Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville, was the hug, that was kind of special.
They were so feeling the love.
They really, really were. And then, okay, we thought this was it. He got his moment, he was celebrating. We were like, okay, we're going to get something to drink, we get ready to do the show. That's how we ended our conversation, right?
Right.
And I'm sitting here before I get up, and it's like, wait, what the hell? No, Owens, no! Kevin Owens attacks Sami Zayn, powerbombed him into the side of the ring.
Kevin, is that any way to treat your good buddy? What would El Generico think?
So,
good Lord.
And we were having this conversation during the celebration. So is Kevin Owens the first guy? Is that where you go next? Is that where you go next? And Lindsay was like, no, you save that. You save that. Well, I didn't save
apparently
it.
Apparently not.
They're going right for it. And it was like, you had to, this is why this was great storytelling the last 15 minutes between him trying to sell, him decide to use the belt and the celebration. You had to stick through the entire 7-8 minute celebration.
To get the double cross.
It was
brilliant.
It was brilliant because you're just sitting here, and you're just waiting and you're waiting for the show to go off the air. It's like, are they doing a post show? No, they're not doing a post show. So just waiting out the time. They took it right to the top of the hour. And bam, he turned and he. Yeah. I was damn impressed. It was
great, great stuff.
Great storytelling. We're gonna get an interview with Kevin Owens next week on NXT. He's a lot of explaining to do.
Kevin, you have some splaining to do.
Like Regal came out, I was like, what the hell, man? What the hell?
Right?
Yeah, that was fantastic storytelling the last 15 minutes of the show. This was a great show. I'm not sure where this one ranks in terms of takeover events. This is really good.
It lived up to the hype, and that's what's important. You know, in terms of ranking them, I don't remember all of them to really know. I remember bits and pieces of them, but not all of them complete. But in terms of did it live up to the hype, I would say yes, it did. The main event delivered, the women's match delivered, Kevin Owens delivered, and everything else was fine. You know, and that's all you can ask for. As long as your big money matches pay off, that's what counts.
I don't think it was as good as the one with Charlotte and Natty in the four-way.
No. I would agree with that. But it was still a very good
show. This was a hell of a show. Don't get me wrong. This was a great show. After sitting through some Raws lately, this was 2 hours of... We were like, it's 9:30 already?
Yeah, this show moved really quickly. There was not a lot of drag, which is nice.
And we say that often with these shows. They move, and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 thumbs up.
Yay! Go NXT.
But on that note, I say we take our last and final quick break of the evening.
I agree. So when we come back, we're going to be doing Tweet of the Week, and we're going to be previewing TLCS. Tables, Ladders, Chairs, and Stairs. Oh, my. So you don't want to miss that. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry,
we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jarvis! Jason the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
Case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins got a piece of something in Ambrose! After he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more, it cannot wait, I'm sure.
Now, before you jump into your tweets, since I'm rewatching the special, they sort of forecast what was happening, because there was a moment where they were showing Sammy. They were showing an interview with Sammy, and they had a dual screen. You had Sammy in the locker room, and Kevin Steen was just looking right at him. They kept exchanging looks. It was like, yeah, something's gonna happen. You should have seen it coming. But you know, they did the big celebration, and then they did the big turn. Anyway, tweets go.
Triple H. Hey, can anyone help me? I'm missing a whole box of brass rings.
Okay, good. Continue.
And the following is a conversation between Tom Phillips, Tyler Breeze, and Bull Dempsey. Tom Phillips, all set for the Slammy Awards tonight on Raw. Vote on the WWE app and stay tuned for exclusive videos all night. Tyler Breeze. Looking like a true idiot. Hashtag hate you, Tom. Tom Phillips. I was going to vote for you as NXT Superstar of the Year. I was going to vote you as NXT Superstar of the Year now, but I went at BoldMCWWE as a write-in. He's way better looking. Tyler Breeze, I'd expect that from you. BoldMC, me too. I'd expect the truth from a journalist of Tom's caliber. Tyler Breeze, journalist? He can barely piece together a blog. Tom Phillips, Mrs. Breeze reads my blog every week after I take her to a nice nice seafood dinners. Tyler Breeze, how dare you?
How dare you?
How dare you?
Good?
Yeah, I'm good. That's all I got.
MMA roasted. Bellator just signed Doink the Clown. Colt Cabana. Fuck. Now I gotta learn how to hold one of those flags over an octagon.
You can do it, Colt. We believe in you.
John Bones Jones. Breaking news. I'm headlining WrestleMania 31. Rockstar Spud. I just passed wind next to this kind, precious old lady at the Milwaukee airport. That is all.
Thanks.
Sports Nation, 1:07 p.m. Jets already losing. Shit wrestlers say. WWE wants Punk back in 2 to 4 years to be exactly what he hates. Part-time guy who gets put over their full-time non-brass ring grabbers. Here's some rejected slammies for you from Keep It 5 Star. Best rendition of Kane. Concessions Kane. Scuba Kane. Safari Kane. Malibu Kane. WWE 2K15 Retro Kane. Which would you pick?
Malibu Kane.
Malibu Kane, okay. From Three Man Booth, rejected slammies. The Real Housewives of Stamford. Nominees. Stephanie McMahon. Naomi. Brie Bella. Maurice. AJ Lee. Natalya. Rejected Slammies. Total Divas Fight of the Year. Jonathan versus Christianity. Natty versus TJ. Rosa with men versus Rosa with women. Bailey. The Off's hair is looking pretty sweet. Almost long enough for a side ponytail now.
She knows what's up.
Wrestling memes coming in 2015. Live on pay-per-view. Tables, ladders, chairs, stairs, Care Bears, pears, Ric Flairs, and chairs.
Budum-ching.
Tommy Dreamer tweeted, maybe me and TNA Dixie should be on Dancing with the Stars. Tune in for Impact Wrestling. Her response to the picture? Not funny. Rockstar Spud, I didn't faint at TNA Dixie Carter. It was due to the Real Al Snow giving me head, and I went weak at the knees. Happens to everyone, apparently. Someone tweeted Triple H, how proud were you of Stephanie's match at SummerSlam? Couldn't be more proud. Hashtag better pedigree than me. And then he was asked the following. Give a one word about, you know, tonight's show. But instead, he gave it about everything. All the matches. Kevin Owens. Historic. Lucha Dragons vs. Vaudevillians. Entertaining. Charlotte vs. Sasha Banks. Revolutionizing. Hideo Itami and Finn Balor vs. The Ascension. Holy sh... Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn. I know it's more than one word, but follow that. That's Tweet of the Week. So yeah, there you go. There's your Tweets of the Week. And now we're going to get into this Sunday's WWE Tables, Ladders, Chairs, and Stairs live pay-per-view special on the WWE Network for the low cost of $9.99. And there's a lot of matches on this show. And we encourage everyone to go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Or the Facebook pages, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork and facebook.com/WTRTheRack. And post your picks as we give them on the air for the show tonight. Because we didn't do a WTR on Sunday, so we want everyone to send in their picks on those respective pages. And we're going to open it up with the pre-show. And on the pre-show, it will be the New Day taking on Gold and Stardust. What's your pick and what's your feeling?
This is a hard one. I don't know why, but I say it's going to be the New Day.
It should be the New Day.
It should be the New Day, because they're a new debuting faction, they're being rebranded, and you have Golden Stardust laid down for them, and I can't look at that picture of Cody anymore, because he's really fucking creepy, but...
and speaking of creepy, here comes Finn Balor.
But, yeah, I mean, my gut is telling me the New Day. It makes sense to have them go over and have them build that momentum.
And seeing as it's on the pre-show, it makes even more sense to have them go over.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm with Lindsay. We're both picking the New Day. So we get into the main show, and there are a lot of gimmicky matches on this card, and let's start one that's near and dear to Lindsay's heart. And it's the reason why this event has been changed. Eric Rowan, Big Show, Stairs.
Poor Eric. He's gonna get smacked in the head with stairs. It's gonna be awful. I don't know why, but I just want to, like, wrap Eric Rowan in a big fluffy blanket and just, like, protect him from everything that wants to harm him because he's just an adorable ball of ginger fluff.
Right.
But he's got to smack a certain, you know, individual, so I'm going to go with Eric Rowan wins and he beats Big Show with stairs.
He beats Big Show with stairs. He should beat Big Show with stairs. We don't need a Big Show push. Build new giants. You know who a big giant is? Big Red. Let's go with Eric Rowan.
He's getting over. And that's the thing, is a lot of people are getting behind Eric Rowan, especially as a babyface. And so it's something of, yeah, push him, because a lot of people are attracted to him, and it makes sense. It's like, I love Big Show, but I don't need to see him pushed for the billionth time. Eric Rowan, he's new, he's different, he's interesting. Push him.
Is it wrong that I want to see Eric Rowan take, like, four sets of steps and try to make a Rubik's Cube type block out of it?
No.
Okay. Because I think that would be kind of awesome.
He would try.
It would be awesome. That would be a finish. He builds a block with the steps, and he picks up the Big Show and just slams him onto it. That would be awesome.
And then it falls apart.
Yeah. And then Eric will be sad his thing broke, but he wins.
He broke his toy.
So we're both going with Eric Rowan.
Yes.
WWE Tag Team Championship match, The Miz and Damian Sandow versus You Say Us, I Say Oh, The Usos. No, don't give it back to The Usos.
Yeah, I say it stays on Miz Dow and Miz.
Yeah, it makes no sense to give it back to them. I just don't see the point. They had the run, they shouldn't even be in this match, but they are. Miz Dow and Miz retained. U.S. title Rusev versus Jack Swagger in a match we saw about 3 months ago at SummerSlam and, stuff like that. Rusev wins again.
Yeah, I'm in agreement.
Like, these aren't hard matches to predict. This isn't... Well, these early matches aren't hard to predict. But, yeah, it's Rusev with the win. He retains the belt. Divas Championship, Nikki Bella and AJ Lee. This, hopefully, we get some, time for this one. At least more than 30 seconds. Please don't cut their time. Just saying.
Yeah, please don't. Please let them actually have a good match.
But I say Nikki wins.
I say... I'm kind of conflicted on this one, because I'm waiting for Brie to turn on Nikki. Because that story isn't completely resolved.
No, but I think they're going to a slow build to that.
Yeah, they're probably looking at that for WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So I would say that for right now, yeah, Nikki wins. There are a lot of rumors about AJ right now, so for right now, I say the belt stays with Nikki.
The Intercontinental Championship is on the line in a ladder match. Luke Harper defends the Intercontinental Championship on pay-per-view against Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph's gonna die. Like, Luke's just gonna mess him up.
Oh, yeah. Without question. I'm going Luke retains.
Yeah, Luke is still coming out of the gate. It was a nice thing to give him the title. He doesn't need to lose it just yet.
So so far we're in agreement on everything. This is weird. But again, it's not, because it's one brain. In a match that's going to be probably awful. The Ryback versus Kane in a chairs match.
Kane.
We're disagreement Ryback, because they're not going to let Kane win.
I don't care. I refuse to pick Ryback. Kane.
I know you do. Do you agree with me it's going to be an awful match?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I love Kane, but yeah, this is going to be...
awful.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it. In a tables match, John Cena, Seth Rollins, if John Cena loses, he is no longer the number one contender for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And because it was hashtag of the year, that's what happens. Out of nowhere, Randy Orton helps John Cena win.
I don't want to pick Cena because I don't... I don't want to do it, but it's John Cena. Like, that's the conflict every pay-per-view. It's like, you don't want to pick him, but you know he's going to win. Ugh. Yeah, I would say John Cena pulls out the victory here, especially since he lost at... well, he didn't lose, but he got eliminated at Survivor Series, and he was not the sole survivor. So, yeah, I say they maintain John Cena's number one contendership status for another week. Or another...
because he's going to head to the Rumble to face Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
And then in what we hope is the main event, tables, ladders, chairs, oh my, Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose, show stealer.
These two are going to kill each other. I mean, they're having fun with this feud. They're both really into it. They're really feeling it. We're seeing a lot of development on both Dean and Bray's sides in terms of their promos, in terms of their characters. This has escalated very quickly. It's going to continue to escalate into the TLC match. Like I said, they're just going to have fun with this. And I think it's going to be something... this is just really hard to pick. Because Bray got his win, which is good. But now Dean needs to get his payback.
But if at the same point, Dean was the one who, even though he didn't get the win, looked strong at Survivor Series.
Right. And that's what you want. So it's who do you have win at TLC? And I forget how we came to it the other night, but part of what we came up with was maybe somebody... because let me back this up. Because the thing with this match is there is no DQ.
Correct.
So Dean can't win by DQ, Bray can't win by DQ, but that doesn't mean but that also means that somebody can interfere on either Dean or Bray's behalf.
Or you don't even need that. They could just knock the crap out of one another. And they could knock each other out. And this was where we came up with, you can go to last man standing with these two if you don't declare a winner on this one. I'm feeling they're going to declare a winner on this one. But the way I would book it, this is a 20-minute knock them out, drag them out, beat up brawl, and they both, like, since it's table, ladders, and chairs, you do the old spot of incoming off ladder, they both fall through table, kablumi, and they both can't get up. That's how I would do it. But they're not going to do it that way, because I would like to see them in to actually earn the win, have someone be the last man standing. That's how I would end it, but they're not going to do it like that. Clearly they're not. But I'm going to Bray Wyatt picks up the win. But that's me. What about you?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know if I can pick this one.
You have to pick it.
I know I do. My heart is telling me Bray. My brain is telling me Dean.
You can go with our theory and say they knock each other out. It hasn't stopped you before.
It hasn't stopped me before, but the thing is it's like if they did that finish, everybody would call bullshit. That's the thing. Like, that finish doesn't necessarily work here. It does, but it doesn't. Because it's honestly, in this scenario, it's kind of a crap finish, if you think about it. Because everybody's paying to see a winner between these two.
Especially after last month.
Especially after last month. So it's something of, you can't do... you have to do a finish. I'm going to say Dean, just because it's going to pull Brandine even in the feud, and then you go one more match. Because the thing is, if Bray wins, then the feud's over. Because he has nothing else to prove to Dean. But if you have Dean win, then that gives Bray something to come after and get his revenge, and you can go to a third. I don't know. Because if Dean wins, then it's over too. It's like, I don't know.
I love that she's so torn. It's amazing.
I love them both. That's the problem. This is when they do two of your favorites together. It's like, crap, I don't know who to pick. You know what? Screw it, Bray.
There you go. That's our pick.
Going with my heart on it. I can't pick against him. You know what? Even if he loses, I'm going with Bray.
Build him strong for WrestleMania for The Undertaker. So there you go. Those are our picks for WWE tables, ladders, chairs, and...
stairs. Yeah, if he goes against Taker, you're going to hear me just like... you're going to hear the fangirl scream all over the world. Because all the Bray Wyatt fangirls, including me, are going to lose it.
Yeah.
And then I'm not going to know who to pick.
Yeah, I know. So there you go. Those are our picks. Send your picks in and tune in Sunday night as they recap the show. So I think we're done.
I think we're done too. So start plugging stuff.
Start plugging stuff, she says. First thing to plug is this show, this very, very show, The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And as we mentioned last week, we want your questions for Ask the Rack Christmas special. Jingle All the Rack. Catchy, huh? Jingle All the Rack for Ask the Rack.
I mean, it's not gobble, gobble, wobble, wobble, but it'll do.
It will do. Jingle All the Rack will do. Not gobble, gobble, wobble, wobble, which came just randomly because we needed music. Anyway, that's a long story. We don't have time for it. Send your questions to MediaWildTalkRadio.com. Or you can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio or leave them on the Facebook pages and we will get your questions and we'll have a fun show for Christmas. Saturday night midnight-ish is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Follow that show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. Check out the website CBRadioLive.com and use the hashtag Blame Rob. As I mentioned, Sunday night is WTR Sunday Night Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mason Omega. Those three will be recapping WTLC Tables, Ladders, Chairs, and Stairs. As the producer will probably be going, oh my god, Eagles score, because the producer's going to be watching so many things, oh my god, on Sunday night. Oh my Jesus, I have no idea how I'm watching three things at once, but I'm going to attempt to on Sunday night. Follow us on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night, Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday night's The Raw Post, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack because we're awesome and we're just leaving it at that. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Just all search for Wild Talk Radio Network. We're a Rack radio show for Stitcher and iTunes for just this very show.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. Please listen to the show every week, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com. Visit the website, rockradioshow.com. And also don't forget our fine sponsors, pwmania.com, tnaasylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/mbg1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. He's Rock. I'm Lindsay. You've been listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye! The dog is the dog.